I would like to call this regular meeting of the Glenn County Board of Education to order, please. There are chairs. Please come. Oh, okay, because there are chairs. Please come sit down. All right. Let the record reflect there are four board members present. Jan is absent. We do have a quorum. Please silence your phones. This meeting is being recorded and it interferes with our recording. And if I can have all of you rise, gentlemen, please remove your hats and join me in the pledge to the flag of the United States of America. Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda for the Wednesday, July 17th, 2019 meeting.
As presented?
As presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
2 seconds.
2 seconds, okay. Moved by Wick, seconded by both other board members to approve the agenda as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
I oppose. The motion is carried. Approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of June 21st, 2019. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes for the June 19th, 2019 meeting as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Moved by Wick, seconded by Walter to approve the minutes of the Wednesday, June 19, 2019 meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved as presented. Are there any comments from the audience on agenda items that you are not able to stay for? If so, please come to the podium, state your name, and let us know. Hearing none, are there any comments from the audience on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move to item number 7, new business. And the first thing is the pipeline presentation. Rob.
Good evening. My name is Robin Smith, and I'm the pipeline coordinator along with Tracy, Mr. Q, and I'm very honored to be here tonight to talk to you a little bit about the program and to also thank some folks that had a lot to do with this trip being so successful. I want to thank the board, first off, for all of your support of this program. You're going to hear some testimonies tonight that will show you what an amazing program this has become. I would also like to acknowledge the drivers who, without them, well, we would not be able to take this trip. We have a couple lifers in the room, we call them, and they're the drivers who have been on every trip. But I would like the drivers to stand up so we can acknowledge you, please. We have some new ones, but our lifers are right here in the front row, Jimmy Lodge and Ronnie Campbell. And if you're lucky enough to be in their van, you will not go hungry. So another person I need to thank is Angelica Perez, who has been with me since January, helping with organizational, logistical things. And I just want to say thank you to Angelica for everything she's done. This year, I was really smart, and I made sure that Angelica had everybody's phone numbers and that she had group texts going, because she was the one that got the middle-of-the-night phone calls and texts. So I know she didn't get a whole lot of sleep, and we actually had one night we had to take a student to the ER. It wasn't too serious or anything, but she did need to get, she had an infection, and so there was Angelica, and she made sure that everything was taken care of. So then also he's not here tonight, but our superintendent, if you've ever sat down with him, you know he's so passionate about Pipeline to Success. He cares about students, and it is never more evident than it is on this trip. He has his own little mantra, and I'm hoping that the students can help me with this. So he says this probably 5-6 times a day. What did you learn on this trip?
You didn't go to college.
So that is something he says you have to hear it how many times? 17 times. But I know they heard it at least 50 times.
Do they know why he's not here?
Mr. Q is with his granddaughter in North Dakota. She was born early. Her name is Ava. And what was she born?
Yesterday.
So he's a grandpa to two now, a little boy and a little girl. So just real quick, I just wanted to tell you that we have a lot of students that are going to talk. We're also going to show a video. But I did want you to know kind of a little bit about the process. So the process starts back in January and February, and we go out to every single high school. We speak to every junior in Glenn County. We show them some of the videos and some of the places that we're going to go. But I think the best recruiters are the students who have been on the trip. And as you know, this trip has grown every year. And I credit the students who have been on the trip that come out with me to help recruit other students as the reason it's so successful. They have wonderful stories to tell. And so it starts with those meetings with the juniors. And if they're interested in going after they hear what's being said and after the videos, then they fill out an information form that says, I like what I heard, I'm interested, please send me an application. And then an application goes out to them. And we found that it works better if we text the application. Students tend to respond better that way through text. And it's just a Google form that they have to fill out. And once they fill out the application, they have to meet a mandatory student meeting. And we have one in Willows and one in Orland. And then we have a whole group one. And it's mandatory to go to those meetings. So when we originally started, we had like 96 applications. And then after the mandatory meetings, sometimes things come up. They have summer trips planned, and then the numbers go down. But just so you know, we had 66 students this year and 24 drivers, so we were a crew of 90. And before the students come up to speak, we are going to show the video first, but I did want to thank the students that are here and all the students that went on the trip because I know it's a risk. I tell them all the time, I heard something through my supervisor that says, why not go out on a limb? That's where the fruit is. And all these students that are here tonight and the students that went on the trip, they took a risk. And I really think it paid off for them. You're going to hear tonight their testimonies and stories. And I'm just really proud of each and every one of them for taking that chance. So Larry is our videographer.
And there are some chairs over here.
And the thing is that the board all has to come over on this side because we did have Larry with us. He is retired from, I believe, Channel 12, and he was our videographer, so this is going to be really special. None of us have seen it yet.
I hope you don't get the too high.
There's another chair there, and there's one up here. Two up here.
They must have been sitting all day. We don't bite. No. Hello? Can you hear me up there? Are we getting any sound out?
No.
Do we
want to
turn that line?
About now. Anybody hear this?
I can hear you. We can hear you. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2. Anybody hearing that?
Not through the speakers. Not through the speakers.
Let me try one thing here. Thank you. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
We didn't just move my monitor. It's coming out of the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
Testing,
yes.
1, 2.
Sounds like your monitor.
All right, now this is a rough cut. It is potentially it's close to the final cut. Let's put it that way. Now this is being played directly off my editing system, so the computer is trying to keep up with all the special effects and cuts and adjusting the audio and all that. There may be a stutter or two. Hopefully that will not appear when I actually render it out, but I don't want to render it out until I know that we've got all we need, because that takes a long time. And so let's try this out. Let's see, let's get a little closer to the start. And let's see how this works.
High five, you know! High five, you know!
Back to California in February after being away for 10 years in the military.
So, I guess it's just a really big change. And you Fox kids out there, you can go to college. You just gotta get a little push.
Ready?
Sounds like I'm paying for every day.
It's just
17,
we don't have enough.
Just take a look and remember this moment. This moment will never happen again in your life.
What are you going to learn from this trip?
You're going to go to college!
Got involved with this project, if you want to call it that, with through Tracy. We're both members of the Orland Rotary Club. He was explaining the tremendous growth this project has had over the last year and the need for drivers. So myself and my wife both volunteered to be driver chaperones for some of the students. And what a wonderful experience it's been. In the mealtime, or when they're sitting in the lobby of the dorm rooms, you can just see the growth of the individuals.
In the Montana sign, right there, I didn't know.
And as long as you work hard for it, you're able to succeed in whatever you want.
There has been doubts in my mind that I wasn't going to go to college, but like this trip is definitely come to sense that like I can go to college.
I was always encouraged to go to college, especially since my mom never was, so she wanted to make sure that I always had that opportunity. There is a financial issue because I only have my mom, but now after this trip, I kind of know that there are options out there, and things aren't going to be as hard as people make them out to be. Everyone, there are things to help you get an education if you're dedicated.
Entrepreneurs as being pro-social, entrepreneurs can also be anti-social.
So I want students, potential students, to know is that you can do this. Like, you are so close. I love to think that, you know, students at this age are thinking college seems forever long. And to think that they can graduate 4 or 5 years down the road, be looking at making salaries like $50,000, to walk out of here in a few years and be making that kind of money is just, it's really eye-opening, and you can do it. You can do it. And then the second thing that I would like people to know, especially about accounting then, is that if it clicks for you, if it makes sense, that is something special. You should treasure that, and you should go with it, and you should push it as far as you can, because it is something special. Not everybody is good with it.
Few of them have actually looked at the schools and they hear the numbers and think, well, I think this is doable. And if I stop, he stops. And one thing about a mobility dog is they need to remain standing when I stop.
Guide platform to rear off road, then continue straight to stay on rear off road.
Okay.
I grew up, I was in foster care. I bounced around from home to home to home. And I was always told that I was going to be nothing. And I was going to be a nobody and not make anything out of my life. I wish this trip would have been around when I was in high school, because I would have attended college. Any fear that I had when I was that 16, 17-year-old junior, it would have been wiped away in an instant with this trip.
Robin came to our school and gave a presentation, a slideshow about how cool it was, how we didn't have to pay for anything.
I said, what is it you want?
Nurse anesthetist.
A nurse anesthetist. What makes you want to put people to sleep?
It's not just for money. It seems like fun. And like, I enjoy it.
These drivers, we wouldn't have been able to go on this trip. And Bill was one of those people who decided he wanted to drive all the way there and let Tracy in. You guys de-aged us. And that's a privilege. Thank you. We're a little younger at heart. But I want Kevin to say that he learned from this trip. There's hope for the next generation.
I know some of you have brothers and sisters that are going to be going on this trip, but I'm going to be looking at you as the experts that are going to do the presentations for the next class coming through, okay?
I was terribly nervous that she said come here, because I had no idea what I was saying about this trip. We had two extra big weapons, and we had a food fight.
Yeah!
Everybody stay in the ring. Who thought they were going to go to college ended up not being able to because instead of a scholarship they had an ethnicity discount. So it looked like that child was not going to be able to go to college. So we called one of these four universities on a Friday in August at 10:30 in the morning, explained the problem. By 2:30 that afternoon, this is a Friday in August, by 2:30 in the afternoon, that child had all their classes, all their money lined up, a dorm room, a meal ticket, and a ride to college. That all happened in 4 hours on Friday nights. On Monday morning, we waved goodbye and said, child is about to go to college. We looked at each other and realized there is more than one child in Graham County who is college ready and college capable, but yet for some reason is denied college. That's the target of this whole venture.
La manera que yo fui involucrada en este programa fue porque mi hija había escuchado del programa y quería ir. Yo había escuchado el programa anteriormente por trabajar con el Departamento de Educación del Condado de Glen y había escuchado muchas cosas buenas de este programa. Ahora mi hija quiso ir este viaje y por eso me apunté para manejar y para ser chaperona del programa. Lo que yo pude sacar del programa, del viaje que tuvimos a diferentes estados a visitar colegios, cuatro diferentes colegios, fue que los estudiantes del Condado de Glen pudieron ver que hay mucha oportunidad afuera de nuestra área, que sí pueden ir al colegio, que pueden avanzar, aunque tal vez no tengan la manera financiera, que ellos sepan, que ellos piensen, que tal vez no tengan esa oportunidad, que sí hay oportunidades afuera de su área, afuera de sus escuelas, que puedan salir y sobresalir en una escuela que tal vez no cueste tanto y que tal vez no tenga los requisitos tan altos para poder entrar a los colegios. Unos estudiantes que solamente hablaban en español en este viaje que tuvimos, y esos estudiantes pudieron ver que sí hay oportunidad para ellas también. Pudieron ver, fueron al viaje de primero cuando empezamos a hacer los tours de las diferentes escuelas. No sabían exactamente qué querían de carrera o qué querían estudiar. Y cuando ya terminamos el viaje, ellas pudieron determinar, algunas de ellas pudieron determinar qué querían estudiar afuera de la escuela secundaria y cuál carrera quieren estudiar. Este programa es bien importante, se me hizo muy importante para los estudiantes que tal vez tengan bajos recursos, que tal vez piensen que no pueden estudiar afuera de la escuela secundaria, porque sí hay oportunidades y es un programa muy, muy hermoso, muy educativo para los papás también, si se pudieran informar. Es para estudiantes que van a entrar al grado 12 de la high school y se pueden informar. Y aquellos que pueden donar al programa es Pipeline to Success con el Departamento de Educación del Condado de Glenn, porque sí se necesitan muchos recursos, mucho dinero para poder hacer este viaje. Entonces, aquellos que puedan donar para el programa, se les agradece muchísimo, porque sí está haciendo efecto para muchísimos estudiantes.
Thank you so much, Larry, for that video. That is going to be, that's priceless. We'll be able to use it for our recruiting. And I just can't thank you enough. So can we please give Larry one more hand? Okay, and the first students I'm going to ask to come speak are students that went on the trip last year, and this trip impacted their lives so much so that a couple of the students are actually going to some of the colleges that we visited. So I'm going to let Victoria Lehman please step up.
My name is Victoria Lehman. I went on the trip last year. I graduated from high school this year. And the trip was super fun, and I thought, you know, during my junior year, I thought I'd go to Butte, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then I was given the opportunity to look at colleges that were pretty inexpensive compared to some of the colleges here in California. And so I visited these colleges, and my favorite one was Minot. And I actually found out that one of their majors they have, which is like the top in the United States, is there. And it's the Communication Disorders Major Program, or Speech Pathology. And I've been learning sign language for like 2 years, so I was really excited. And I learned way more about it. And it was, in fact, Mr. Corney who showed me that this college had that. And because of him, I am now going to be moving to Minot, North Dakota in August. So I'll be leaving fairly soon. And I will be majoring in communication disorders, minoring in child development, and taking their interpreter program as well. Excuse me. And going through that. So,
Sam, you were given a scholarship?
I was given a scholarship, and then they also, Minot themselves, awarded me a $1,000 reward for every year for my academics. So.
And we need speech pathologist.
Yeah.
Very much.
And the next student, she's one of the Fab Four. She's actually in my van, and that's Valeria.
I went on the pipeline trip like 2-3 years ago. Two? Okay. And I cherish this trip close to my heart because not only did I visit four amazing colleges, but I got to go out of state, which I never did up to that trip. I met tons of new people, which these people became really close friends overnight and made some really good memories. I wasn't even sure how I was going to pay for college or if I was even capable of it, but after this trip, I felt more prepared for the future, and it made me grow as a person. It definitely provided a pathway for a better college experience. This upcoming fall, I will be a sophomore at Butte now, and I'm going to transfer over to Chico State or different UC. But I'm majoring in business, and while I'm doing that, I work at Tractor Supply, and I'm keeping my pie well balanced.
So now what we're going to do is we have students that are going to come and speak, and we have some drivers as well, and everybody here, if you can, the students that are here, if you can just say what your favorite college was and something about your experience and why you would recommend this trip to a future student. So, or if you have anything you want to say, you can come up and say it right now. So let's just get a line going.
Good luck.
Come on.
Don't be shy.
New driver. Oh. All right. Go on. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jack Williams, and I'm going to be a senior in Orland High School. And I went on the trip mainly because one of my biggest concerns when I started looking up colleges around when I was a freshman was that when I looked up colleges, especially in California, I see price tags of yearly tuition, $54,000. And I was like sitting there like, I don't know if that's doable. So when my dad heard about the program when I was like a sophomore or freshman, and he told me about it, and I couldn't wait to go on the trip. When I went on the trip, my favorite college there was Minot because unfortunately they weren't able to show me the actual area where I want to get my major, which is going to be in cybersecurity or computer science. While I wasn't able to go there, they actually brought in a representative, a student from that area. He actually explained the entire course load, and I learned what I need to learn now in high school. I learned what I can expect, and I also like how the teachers were actually willing to take time out of their summer to actually communicate with us. So, and the drivers on the way over, they were great. They engaged with us, and it was just a fun van ride over. So, yeah.
Hello, my name is Stephen Gregiff, and I am from Princeton High School. The main reason I went on this trip was because it was free, but and also it was going out of the state, which I had done before. So when I started on the trip, I really didn't have any expectations for the colleges. I just knew we were going to some. So when we got there, I was definitely interested in the first one, which was Montana State Bozeman. I'm pretty sure it was that one. And I really liked the school. The campus was really nice looking, and I really liked their degrees, especially since they had such a good engineering department, which was what I was interested in. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the trip.
I'm Jasmine Queen, and I'm from Hamilton High School. And when I heard about this trip, socializing, going out of state, being away from my family, all things I hate, I was really scared by it, and that's why I did it, is because I think I needed to put myself out of the box I had myself in, and I never really thought about going to college, and I never really thought of it as the path I wanted to take, but looking at the colleges and seeing how it changes people and how it strives to make people better, I just thought that maybe that is something I want to do, and I need to make myself the best I can be, and going to college is definitely going to do that. So I really liked Minot because they had a great broadcasting and like journalism program, and I really want to be a news reporter. And I never really thought about being a news reporter. I always thought, oh, it'd be fun, but I didn't think it could be a reality. And now I know that it's within reach. So.
I'm Eduardo Falcon. I'm from Princeton High School. My favorite thing about the trip was, besides the cafeteria food, it was knowing that it's a lot cheaper than what I thought. Because like, I'd always think like going to a university was like going to be a lot of money. Like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go. When I was like, be stuck here at VU. Well, until I heard about this program, and that's like, oh, I don't mind going out of state. Like, the farthest I've been was either Nevada or Oregon, that was about it. But going that far, that was pretty amazing. I preferred it over there, because, like, I preferred the weather. The schools there, I can't say they're better than here, but pretty much, yeah. when I learned that they had what I wanted to become, which was, like, basically becoming a video game tester, it's, like, kind of got my interest, which was, I think it was Montana, the first school we went to. The only thing I hated was that I had to walk a lot. I had to walk like 7 miles on the first day. And all the requirements weren't that much to achieve what I wanted. It was like just mostly I had to take a lot of math classes. Like, I'm not okay with math, but...
It's tutors.
Yeah. But if it's the only way to go, I might as well take the bullet right there and do it. And yeah, that was pretty
much it. Hi, my name is Mika. I go to OHS, and I went on this trip because I've been told to just like go out and just do it, because I am one of the just head-on go-getters where I don't really mind putting myself in scary situations. And although a lot of the schools didn't have the programs I was looking for, I did learn like different parts of like schools that I would want in a future college. Like, I didn't know that you could like have so many great things. Like, I didn't know that schools had special places for like Native Americans. I didn't know that, and I really enjoyed that. And I saw, like, I realized I didn't want a big school. Like, I always thought, because people always talk about, you're from a small town, you want a big school, you want a big city, like, experience, and I realized I'm okay with being small. And through this trip, I got out of my bubble. I'm not used to talking to people. I don't talk in front of people, but through this trip, I was able to get out of my bubble, and Tracy Corney helped with that. He got me to the point where I just talk. And I really enjoyed this trip. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of people, along with me. I would have never thought to even look out of state. I always thought to just stay in California, stay close to home. But through this trip, I realized it's okay to go far away. There's ways to get back. There's also, like, different ways to help you get to college, different programs to help you throughout college, to help with classes, and to help you with specific things that you may need. And I just really think this trip is a very great opportunity for anyone, even if they are scared to go out and spread their wings.
I'm Parker Close. I attend Willis High School. My favorite part of the trip was being able to go out of state and explore other colleges, even though I know that I want to go to college in state. The one thing I would tell people for people who know that they want to stay in state for college and don't think they should go on the trip, I would tell them that it's a really good experience because you get to know what it's like to be out of college and sleep and food, which is really important to be in college.
Hi, my name is Jill. I'm from OHS. And first of all, I want to thank the board for letting us go on the trip. It was an amazing trip. I learned so many things that, you know, I never would have known without the trip. Every time I've ever thought about going to college, I've always thought that it was like a hurdle that I couldn't pass when it came to price and things like that. I always thought that I had to stay in-state. I never even dreamed about going to a college out of state. I never thought it was a possibility. I was in a bubble. I never really thought that I could go out and do things, go to other states. And I feel like this trip has made me grow as a person and has really helped a lot of people. And I think it's very important that people go on the trip because it helps them learn things about themselves, people. And I feel like it was a really positive trip overall.
Hi, my name is Amber Kurth. I was in Robin's van for the trip, and I got really close to her, and she helped me in a lot of different ways. On this trip, I got to talk to two different college coaches. I'm really big on soccer and track, and I've been looking into getting scholarships and trying to play in college. And I've never had the opportunity to talk to a coach. And through Robin, she took me to the Minot soccer coach. And we went into this big gymnasium. And we went and we found where all the college coaches' offices were. And out of all the coaches that had offices there, there was only one coach that was actually there that day. And that happened to be the women's soccer coach, which was kind of amazing to me. And without Robin, I wouldn't have been able to meet him and talk to him. And I've been communicating with him and trying to see what we could do and so show him my skills. So I'm really thankful to Robin and this trip for that. I also would always talk to my mom about colleges and trying to figure out what I liked and what I didn't like. And we'd try and figure out what was out there. And I realized that I didn't know what to ask and what to look for. And through this trip, even if I not interested in going to any of these colleges, I learned what I like, what I don't like, what to ask, and what to go for. So I'm very thankful for this trip, and to you, and all the drivers, and all the kids that went on this trip, and everybody that made it possible. So thank you.
Hey, drivers.
Hey, Robin. Before we get to that, can I ask the students a couple questions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, show of hands. First of all, how many students are here that went on the trip? Okay. How many of you had toured a college campus before this trip? Okay, so that's, you all got a something you hadn't had, most of you. How many had been outside of California before? And how many had been outside, been in a state that didn't border California before? So definitely I'm a fan of expanding people's horizons, and I think you'll find that this will help you in school. People will respect you a lot more having experienced something that they haven't, you know. And how many are planning to go to college now that weren't planning to go before the trip?
How many are planning to go to college, period? Okay.
Cool. Thank you. I just wanted to see some results on that.
How many of you think you might go to one of the schools that you toured? Fantastic.
We have some drivers that I'd like to... I mean, I feel as a driver, it's an experience for us as well, and we learn so much from the students and the relationships and the bonds that we build with the students, and we have some new drivers, we have some veterans, but if the drivers could maybe come up and say a few words what it was like for them.
My name is Kevin Frank. I'm the superintendent principal for Stony Creek. It was a very unique experience. The best part was that the students stayed up all night, which allowed Tony and I to have nice conversations during the day because they were asleep. from our narrow perspective with the six girls that we had, we didn't see bickering, we didn't see arguments, we didn't see fighting. Very well behaved. It's hard to do that when you're transporting 70 or so teenage kids across 4,000 miles in several states. Speaking of my students up at Elk Creek, we're tiny. We only have four in our entire junior class. Robin and I and teachers were able to convince all four of them to go. Some of them never travel outside Glen and Butte County. So to take them 4,000 miles on a round trip was an amazing feat. One of them still speaks of the bonds and the friendship that they made on this trip. I haven't been able to talk to the other couple of my students, obviously we'll get some feedback as we re-adjourn for school. The trip is well worth it. Anytime that you can expose students to faculty members, I think it was Bozeman, for example, in our group we have an art major. She's very interested in art. And on happen chance, we just happened to run into the secretary of that department who led us to the dean of the department. And all of a sudden, you know, some questions that were going on, we were sitting there with a 25-minute slideshow presentation on just being an artist is wonderful, but you can actually make a career of it. And for that gentleman to take the time to talk to not only my group, but by the time that we were done, there were seven or eight other groups there. He was talking to a full house in this particular classroom. Those connections, the ability of the students to ask questions and move forward is going to help them in life as they go over hurdle after hurdle. And I think from what I saw in my witness, you had that happen on this trip. And that's the most important part of the entire trip. Whether or not they go to one of these schools or they don't, the idea that they can take a jump, they can take a plunge and get into the schools of their choice, and that they can go to college, whether or not they get through grants or borrowing. I borrowed, still paying it off. But the success is there. And it was a trip well worth it. I know of at least two students from my school. We doubled our junior class. We have eight. But I know of at least two that will be heading out on the pipeline trip in June of next year. So I appreciate the board's time, and thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Anthony Scott, and I have to tell you, this was quite a trip. And I wanted to thank Robin and Tracy, and I got to tell you, the whole experience was a good thing for me. I wish it was around when I was trying to decide about this stuff. So I think there is a lot of value to that. I think as I stepped into it, I got to understand. I walked around the corner, and here's Tracy. Hey, Tony, how you doing? That's how I got involved. Okay, I can do that. The concept is tremendous. The students can get an awareness of what's out there. The dean of the arts department, he actually said to the students who were sitting there, he says, if you have a 2.0, okay, I'll take you. Get here. If you don't know what to do, we'll help you decide that. By the second year, you will know what that is. I was speechless. I thought that, how great could that be? So at that age, a junior in high school, they need to hear things like that. Otherwise, we might feel like our choices are limited. The program, or this trip, I should say, took a lot of effort. I could not believe the logistics. I could not believe the amount of time and the thought and process that went into it. I cannot fathom putting all these things together and making it happen. We had 12 or 13 vehicles. We had 60 students, 66, 26 drivers. We had to house them. We had to feed them. We had to get them from point A to point B. we pulled together. We did it. We had challenges, and we just seemed to make it happen. We have people who knew what to do. There were contingencies when something came up. If something came up and we didn't know what to do, we found an answer. So you had at least 26 caring adults on this trip that worked to make this happen. Challenges are never perfect. We know that there's things that have to happen. The size of the group seemed to be the biggest challenge. And that... we can just expect it to continue, because I think this is going to go places. You know, I think that would be a wonderful thing. And then as we go along and we get into this process of larger groups, then we can fine-tune things. And so next year, I'll be looking Tracy up going, "Are you leaving?" It was a nice experience for me as well. And I think, for the most part, you know, we have a pretty good time. There's no doubt about it. So, thank you for your time.
Very good.
Our spiritual leader.
I'm just going to kind of talk numbers a little bit, because I work with a lot of people as a pastor. I have community service kids work at the church trying to work out their hours because they get in trouble with the law. You know, they don't have a vision for their life. And so, you know, I was just telling a kid yesterday, "Hey, man, I went to this college. John Deere will pay you to go to college to this trade school if you work for them 3 years afterwards." You know, I mean, just learning that there's more opportunities so that I can sow those seeds in kids' lives was precious to me, because it gives me more ammo to throw at them to give them a vision for their life, in that sense. So just learning the trade school out there in South Dakota, at $12,000 a year, all you can eat, sleep, and learn. You could work part-time. A lot of the colleges will hire the students during the summer. That's amazing, because most people I know that go to college end up graduating with such debt, they're trying to work it off, pay it off. It's kind of like, you know, drive a truck and make more, you know. It was really an eye-opener that... man, what a great deal these colleges are offering kids here in California to come to their colleges for $12,000 a year, all you can eat, sleep, and learn. That's really a great price. So I'm sowing lots of seeds now, and it was just a great... I loved hanging out with the kids and adults, and just great time. And I've been on a lot of trips in my life, taking 10 kids to summer camp Monday. So I'm on trips all the time, and I just want to say this one was very well organized, and I give it a 10 as far as just with this many people in the organization. It was really well done, and I just want to give kudos to Robin and Tracy and Leilani and Angelica for all the work they did, because I know the work that's involved, and they did an amazing job. So good job.
Jimmy and I have been on every trip. Something really spectacular happened this year. I have a grandson that went on the trip. And I've been working on him 6 months because he doesn't know what he wants to do. This trip, he decided that when we got to the college there, North Dakota State College of Science, he decided he wants to be a welder. He's seen their program, and I tell you what, that's a miracle. Because I've been working on him 6 months, and he has no direction. Now he has direction, and I think that's fantastic. And the trip is the best thing that ever happened for all the kids and for the adults, too. Especially me.
For me, it's really rewarding to see, listen to what all the students said today about their trip and what they got out of it. It's worth the drive.
So what's next for Pipeline? We want to invite you to our barbecue. We're going to have a big barbecue swim party. It's going to be August 14th. It's going to be at the Orland Pool. And we are looking for a service club or service group that would like to do the barbecuing or has a barbecue. So if any of you know of anyone, that's something we're looking for. And I want you to know that we also have a FAFSA workshop that's really successful, FAFSA workshop. And you're all welcome to come to that because I'm sure you could help us out with this many students. We're going to need all the help we can get. But last year's group, out of the 31 that went on the trip, we had about 26 show up for the FAFSA workshop. So I'm expecting close to 60 this year. And
what is the workshop?
Oh, FAFSA. It's the financial aid, federal financial aid for college.
Oh, okay.
Free money.
Okay. It's for the students.
Yeah. It's for the students, and it's in October that we do it, so they get it in early. And so the other thing is these relationships that were built over the 9 days is definitely what makes this trip worth it. Not just with the students, but the relationships that are built with the adults, and that's what it's all about. So thank you, and thank you for your support.
I certainly want to thank Robin and the parents and the drivers and the students. It is heartwarming to the board to see such a wonderful response. And because we're all about education and we value education and you're continuing your education, I think this is a marvelous thing that has been put together. And we truly support this as the board. Any other members?
Would echo everything you just said.
It's wonderful.
I'm fairly old, but recently in college within the last decade. But I just think it's great that I refused. I said I'm not going anywhere within 50 miles of Glenn County, so I left. And I did stay in state, but it allowed me, as you guys have all attested to see that there's so much more out there in the world, and there's so many programs and so many opportunities. And I just commend all you guys for having the nerve to go on a trip all the way to Montana. I've never been to Montana, but it's great to see you guys so excited about your experience, to see you wanting to go into the future and go and I hope come back to help Glenn County. But
we need drivers next year.
I'm on the emergency list. But no, and Robin, thank you so much. Tracy as well. And I love to see the synergy, not just amongst the individual high schools, but y'all have friends at all the high schools in the county right now. That's amazing. So I love to see that. So thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Drivers, outstanding. I appreciate that as well.
Yes, we appreciate you taking your time to be here tonight to inform us about this. And thank you, sir, for making the video. It was marvelous. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It was fun.
Good.
It was a fun trip for me. It was a fun project that I never really expected to be doing. It turned out to be something
to enjoy for me. Well, we find this new and innovative, and this board in particular has done a lot of different things that most boards don't do, so we're really pleased to hear that it's such a success.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I will say that we will go on with our board meeting, but you may leave at this time if you so wish.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, very much so.
See y'all at the barbecue.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of you.
Thank you.
Can you get pictures? Can you get pictures on the trip?
Actually, yes, there were two. Daryl's not here yet. Both were from our academic camp on team that were on the trip. I'm coming for it. I'm ready.
Mr. Jones, it looks like you're next for the budget. Thank you.
So we've been busy in closing out of last year and getting the new year started up, and as such, we've not done any budget changes up to this point, so there's nothing to present.
Okay, and while we're talking about budget, did we get our new building paid for?
So in June, I had talked to Tracy about how long he thought it would take our escrow to close, and he anticipated it would get pushed into July.
And it did not.
It did not. It closed in June, so as of June 30th, we're the owners of the rescue wagon.
Okay. And everything went okay, even though we had to sign it twice.
There was one additional document that I had to have you sign that then we had to take down to the title companies.
But everything, we now own that building, is that correct?
And so when is Shane buying paint?
And a light color.
The inside or the outside?
The outside.
You notice that was an echo.
It'll have to be queued up. He's really busy at the moment. As you see this nice tile in here, he's been overseeing a project up in our other facility. Some health safety issues with carpet and waves.
And mold?
Well, no, not so much mold. Just carpet that has spots where people could trip.
Has differences in elevation.
Have its own
topographic map.
Well, it's getting old.
It's been 4 years.
He and the crew have been really busy up there, as well as just the summer queue of
our honestly, our anticipation is by the end of September, we're going to have it painted.
A lighter color.
Yes, a lot lighter color. We're actually going to start with the inside and then go to the outside because we have some tenants moving in, so I want to get it cleaned up.
Well, you want to get the outside before it rains, and then you have another excuse.
maybe you got me pinned too well.
So this is, I'm very unobservant. This is new tile in here.
Not in here.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm not.
No, the same tile
going in the Orland.
Oh, okay. I see.
We're doing about 4,000 square feet.
Gotcha.
In 2 weeks. They started last Monday. They'll be done Friday.
Wow. And if you want to see the administration or if you want to talk to the secretary, you got to look right instead of left.
I have her back in her office now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did notice that when I picked up.
Okay, so the budget's the same, and we did get the building paid for then. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Shane, how about the sign update? Or multiple signs?
We got new flashy things as Edith Joe's.
No, just
expect.
Yeah, that's what
it's. Good evening, Shane Anderson, Glen County Office of Education Facilities. Just give me 1 second. We're hooking up the computer in the back, and then we're going to have some pictures of the signage.
Come on that side?
Sure, come on out here.
Okay, it'll take
come
us
on
a
down.
Come on down.
See, Kathy had that one on the plan.
I know, right?
I think you see it.
By all means, this is not a fancy slideshow. I just put some pictures together for you guys.
It's sharp, black and white.
Spent a lot of time on it.
Come on, classic.
That's a fine name for a square.
That's a rectangle, I know. Oh, it's lit up at night.
Yes,
I haven't seen it. In operation at night. Sometimes during the day, it's difficult to read with the shadows.
Yes, I've noticed that. But I was also reminded, so this one, the R is... I'm going to have to make that really long crawl to check the connections on the R. And that crawl is a really long one, so I'm going to have to... We went in at 4 a.m. to wire this sign up because it's a 100-foot crawl through a 2-foot by 2-foot soffit.
Oh, did you have any other young people?
Well, there was two of us that went.
You just put a rope through and just pull you.
I wish it was that easy. But... And then these are our new parking lot lights have been retrofitted with LEDs. And you can see that it is a lot more bright here at night. And then our last picture is just the front of our building with all new LED stones, soffit lighting and the front wall packs there.
Have we had any homeless or problems?
No.
Because before it was occupied, there were quite a few.
Right. And I actually, there's a local law enforcement officer that plays on my softball team. And he has mentioned that it has, the traffic there has dropped dramatically since we moved in.
Cool.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think when we first toured it, and I don't know who all was on the tour, we ran into somebody.
Yes, I was with you.
You okay.
And that was kind of
more signage. We do have some of the other signage. Some of it came in earlier this week, but we don't have the rest of it. So hopefully, my fingers are crossed, but I'm not going to make a promise. But next board meeting, I'll have some more pictures of some more illuminated signs too. They're going up on the wall. Monument signs yet.
But no monument signs.
No monument signs yet. These are the ones that will go up on the bell tower themselves also. So hopefully more pictures next month.
Do we need phones, really?
Guess that's something we can discuss. But the wall ones have been ordered, so.
I like the wall ones, but yeah. I mean, do we need the monument signs?
I'm not sure.
Have you ordered a statue yet?
I have the. I'm casting that in bronze. It's in my shop right now. I'm kind of putting the polishing and finishing touches.
Will it light up also?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's the Colossus of Rome.
Yeah. You got a fair point there.
Won't cement work for him?
I should get the reward.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. We'll put you back on the agenda.
I'm sure you will.
We just don't let those things die until they're finished. That's kind of how we operate, Shane. Just ask Roberto.
Well, I have been here over 2 years, and that sign, line item, has been there for over 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've done that before.
Hey, but at least the solar's off.
That's right. Okay. Randy, do you want to talk about the membership and the dues? This looks very familiar from year to year.
Yes, it's seven or so different affiliations that the county office joins. CSBA, I'm sure you're familiar with. Gamut is the policy.
Mm-hmm. Small school district. Yeah.
That one also benefits the school districts. They get a opportunity to come in at a lower rate because of our membership.
That's the conference we went to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the EMCN is a mandated cost group. That.
Did they ever pay out?
They do, but it usually takes quite a while because the process is that there's a test claim that's first submitted through the state controller's office, and so it usually takes several years to get.
That's what I thought. Years,
yeah, all the way through.
Yeah, okay.
And be approved. So, and then School Services of California, another one that our districts also benefit by.
They give us things on the internet. I don't know if any of you have looked at that, but they.
They do
updates.
Fairly periodic updates, and
I get them all the time.
Bulletins.
Mm-hmm.
Success is the one that you're also familiar with. Shirley and Jackie and myself are all part of the subgroups of Successa. And then the last one, ESSA, is at the.
It's part of Successa, or it's run through Successa.
Is that the one that you went to for this last weekend?
Yeah.
American Educational Services Agency, yeah. I believe, or association. Excuse me, association. So it's actually has members from other states that are in some states they're called BOSES or Service Associate or let's see. I forget the other term, but it's a similar entity to our county office where they're working with districts that are in their area.
Does the board have any questions?
Gamut Online looks like it's a part of CSBA, or you have to be a member of CSBA for access to Gamut Online. Are those, you said policy, but is that trainings for?
No.
What is Gamut?
It puts out policies, or written policies that are already. Annotated and template, and they have gone to having some for the county offices. Usually we didn't belong to it because it put up mostly district policies, gotcha, which are different, but now they have had some county office policies, so we don't have to write them.
Sure, and I'm sure that saves lots of staff time.
Or Tracy time looking up the ed code sites.
No, that's nice. Thank you.
Any other questions, Board?
On the SSBA,
small school,
do we really need the elite plan?
That gives the other districts 50% off their membership.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was nice to see a number. Beth, Jan, and I, and Walter, and Tracy went down to the last one, and there were quite a few districts down there.
Yeah, we had Corey from Princeton was there. Okay. We had Mort was there with Willis Unified, and a couple of his board members, and then
there's another district I thought too. But it was nice to see the small districts there.
Glad to support our individual districts.
Okay, so this is an action item. We have to approve these expenditures.
I would motion to approve the memberships and dues outlaid in item B.
Second.
Moved by Walter, seconded by Kathy to approve the membership and dues outlined on item 7D on our agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Do we need, is there some need for us to spell these out completely?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Pipeline donations. We need to approve and accept these, I assume. Does anyone know the total so far?
And it's, are we accepting this after the fact?
Yes.
Do you know the
for next year?
Do you know the total?
No, it's very close to what we had last month.
And we met all of our needs for this trip?
Pretty much. I'm not sure how close.
Not all the bills have come in, so we don't know.
Can we have an update about that next meeting?
The total of the bills, so that would be
good. I'm just curious if we were able to.
Well, I think it will help also once we get a 301 or 501(3)(c). Because I know I had somebody ask from a particular organization, and they can only donate to a 501(3)(c). So,
and that's in progress, right?
Yes, from last meeting it was in progress, and it could take up to 6 months, as I understand. We need to accept these donations that are listed here.
I move that we accept the Pipeline to Success donations. First Lutheran Church of Orlin, $100. St. Monica's Young Ladies Institute, $200. And Matthew D. Evans, Attorney at Law, $500.
Is there a second?
I'd second the donations.
It has been moved by Wick, seconded by Walter, to accept the donations from First Lutheran Church of Orlin, St. Monica's Young Ladies Institute, and Matthew D. Evans, Attorney at Law. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is carried. Randy, do you want to explain the board health cap?
Yeah, so this is, as a result, in April each year, the county office does a comparative process in salaries with the district from the previous year, as well as the health benefit that's provided by the districts in the county. And so as a result of this past April analysis, the monthly benefit is going up an additional $4 a month.
That's okay, the allocation. And that is what our negotiating groups get also?
It is.
Action item, Board.
I would motion to approve the board health cap.
Is there a second?
Go ahead.
Second.
Moved by Walter, seconded by Kathy to approve the monthly raise of the board health cap. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is carried. And so the superintendent, we know, is on his own separate little salary schedule and has his insurance. Several months ago, we agreed to put it to the same as everyone else's, too. So that's what item G is. So it will be the same kind of thing.
I move to approve a superintendent health cap raise
11/56, retroactive July 1.
Is there a...
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded, moved by Kathy, seconded by Walter, to approve the superintendent's health cap to 1,156, retroactive July 1, 2019, for the school year 18-19. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion...
is it also retroactive to July
1? The F?
Correct.
Yes, it wasn't part of the motion. Do you, would you like to remake your motion, Walter?
Yeah, I can do that. I would
move
to approve item F, or I would motion to approve item F, board health cap from 11/52 to 11/56, retroactive to July 1, 2019.
For the eight, okay. And would you accept the second?
Second.
Yes. Yes, okay. Okay, so it has been removed and seconded as changed to approve the board's raise from 11/52 to 11/56, retroactive to July 1 on their health cap benefit. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries again. Item H, the Williams uniform complaint.
On the uniform complaints, there were no complaints filed with any schools during the quarter of April through June of 2019.
Okay, wonderful. Item I.
So item I is a conversation that's happening throughout the state. One of our sister counties earlier, or toward the end of this last school year, actually did have to close school over in Mendocino because they were without power a couple of days. And so Tracy, Shane, and Roberto and I have met recently to talk about looking at generators. I also received an email from vendor talking about this topic. Even this was that earlier today, I think, that I forwarded out to the rest of the group. with our I'll let Shane jump in and add to.
So you guys got a supplemental packet today from me, some pictures and the price breakdown. I'll go through with you guys just page by page. So the first page is 676 East Walker Street. We're on admin. You can see the blue rectangle is actually where we anticipate putting a generator. It's in that far parking spot, closer to Walker Street and close to the sewer lift station. And then the red rectangle is actually the electrical room. And actually, in this project here, we're going to pull everything into the server room. The transfer switch and everything will be in the server room, and then go out to the generator and then come back. So the next page...
Well, that's an ugly spot. I mean, we've talked about wanting a sign there, or Orland wanted a sign there. Is there some way it can be out of view from Walker Street?
We can always put it anywhere we'd like. It's just the material cost of running. So... with the generator...
I mean, it looks huge. It's going to take up a parking spot, right?
Yes. Anywhere we put it, it's going to take up a parking spot.
Is it going to be surrounded by anything once it's in?
An enclosure.
So it's still going to be ugly.
Brick or slatted fence?
Let me decide.
Okay. Yeah, you could make the enclosure...
Oh, yeah, right.
Not ugly.
Just mind you, the spot we chose is the most inexpensive spot.
Well, why wouldn't you put it close to the... Then if you're going to put it out in front, why wouldn't you put it close to the electrical room?
That's the very front of the building. The other side is the back side of the building.
Yeah, I was going to say, who parks there anyway?
No one really parks there anyway.
That's as far away
from... Well, but that's the corner. That's the first time
you... Just heard of.
That's the first time you see the building coming into town. Everybody comes around that way to make that corner out of the parking lots, but you got to come out that way.
I think that's a minor complaint. I'm sorry.
Well, it is, but it's ugly.
What if we put GCOE on the side of the brick barrier that we're going to surround it with?
Well, we could have Oscar paint Tracy's face on there.
Why don't you put the statue over the top of it?
There we go. There we go.
There you go.
It just seems like it's an inconvenient place.
Maybe Byzantine tile mosaic.
You drive that often. How do you feel about it?
All right, go on.
Page two. It's right here, 311 South Villa. And again, the red rectangle is the electrical room, and the blue one is the generator.
You aren't concerned with...
tower? With future?
I mean, I don't speak that language, whether the tower that would affect it at all.
We have underground, so I'm trying to stay to the south of the tower because we have the underground running from the electrical room to the tower that I don't really want to interfere from. So we're either looking at, yes, to the south of the tower or to the north of the tower, but not directly in line.
Doesn't that area flood every year?
Yeah, but that's what pads are for. Put it on the concrete.
Would this generator, if for some reason we would consider more... Does this only take care of the admin building? Let me put it that way.
So these generators that we spec'd out will only take care of the server room. And the air conditioners associated with the server rooms.
And the reason being is we have many districts that rely upon us for connectivity. Their phone systems are internet-based, and so there's a health safety issue potential with us not being able to provide service where districts have electricity. We might not be able to continue to provide service to them.
And they're still that expensive.
How long are the units? I'm sure it's on page 3, except in the last lighthouse.
It's in page 3.
At least this is that's in the back of the building and not, you don't walk over it as you walk into the doors.
My only, where I was going to go with that question is just it's really easy to, it's going to be also surrounded by a barrier.
Maybe there'll be kids or something.
Well, I don't know. It's a big open area. It's again looking into the future. Okay.
We can discuss location and we can kind of plan that out a little bit better. But I use that location with our subcontractors to get an approximate price for materials. So next page is the cost breakdown. So you can see location, install costs. These install costs were provided by Chico Electric. They're on our vendors list. They do very good work for us. The equipment cost is supplied. It's a 40 kW generator supplied by Peterson Caterpillar. That is the only quote I have obtained for equipment at this point in time. But as Mr. Jones mentioned previously, we're going to be looking at some other brands and some other equipment. So... that price on the equipment may drop a little bit.
The difference in the install is the length of electric that's there now to the connect to it.
Yeah.
Do these generators, do we have to turn them on or do they go on automatically?
Automatic. It's an automatic transfer switch, so if power was to drop, it's automatically transferred. And they will actually automatically bump up and run once a week to keep everything cycling and maintained.
But I see they're diesel, right?
Yes.
How noisy will they be?
They're quiet.
Are they quiet?
Willow Glen has one.
They would run it once a week.
How does that generator... Does it flip off the switch to the other electricity? Because
yes.
I thought you couldn't run a generator
yes.
with a...
Essentially, it shuts the gate from PG&E and opens the gate to the generator. That's what the automatic switch is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when actually power comes back on it, it'll put it back the other way.
But that is automatic. Okay.
Yes. Okay. And then the other attachments are just the quotes that I based this price breakdown off of.
Risk management, I think it's a good idea. Remember the costs, I'm sure you'll do your due diligence.
I have one of my staff looking at
potential funding options, whether there's money through PG&E or federal programs and that kind of thing.
And we did. I did look into natural gas. However, we did not have the supply needed at either location for a natural gas generator.
Well, and they have been threatening to turn off power periodically if there's a storm. It's got big winds or fire danger or whatever.
Low humidity, high winds, and we could lose power at a simple email. Mm-hmm.
Is there a fire risk with the brown weeds out surrounding it?
Oh, no. Come on.
No, but I lost my power a month ago or so, and it was off for 17 hours.
We had a power outage out my way today. Not my house, but down the road.
We had a power outage right after we got all of our animals from the fair.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, yeah, it happens.
The other pieces that's there in the narrative that Roberto can talk to, I hope, is the potential cost on damage to equipment. We have a district that he can discuss.
Yeah, we had an issue at Willis High School. The power went out, but the servers that continue on, the AC went out. They got extremely hot. Servers need to be always operating, and they always need it to be cool to operate. Because the AC went out, the servers remained on. It got very hot very quickly, and it overheated. And when that happens, they automatically shut off. They don't always come back on. And in that case, they actually lost the server, and it cost them close to $10,000. So luckily, we have backups. We have the data stored, but it took a while to order a server, have it come in, install it. And so they were down for a few days for accessing information on that particular server. So, and we have a lot of information, a lot of data, including the financial system that's used by every district in Glenn County. And that they use that for payroll and use that for payables. And so if we were to lose service, that would impact every district in Lake County.
Plus the phone systems.
And their phone systems. For example, Walden, they have a voice over IP system, so if they don't have internet, they don't have phones.
You mentioned, Jane, that we were still looking for other quotes.
Yes.
So if we were to approve this, should we put a total no more than, or do you want to wait it to approve it, the total amount until we get the quotes we want, or how does this work?
I would leave that up to you. And the reason I quoted Peterson Caterpillar, by no means am I saying they are the most expensive, but they are a very reliable product, and I would care to guess that they may be a little more expensive than other products, but they stand behind their product and they've been around for a really long time. So I started at the top. So if you add those together, I believe you're just shy of 135. I think it's like 134.5. And so I'm pretty confident that at the amount, at the 135, if you guys approve that, we could definitely get both projects done for the 135.
And Randy, how would you think of, you know, if in fact we decide to do that 135 top or less? I mean, is that, and unless they come back?
Yeah, no more. I would
no more than,
no more than 135.
Unless they come back and we find out why.
Yeah, unless it,
right?
Unless there's
something like that.
A separate vote.
I'd like to. Okay. I think he's smart with going with
Peterson.
It is a good product.
It is a good product.
Quite a bit.
Very reliable product. In fact, there are anecdotal stories out there saying that when things don't work, they bring you a portable generator.
And well, I've seen those parked. There's one parked that I drive by every morning and night that's over at the near the after bay there where they have the fish tanks and netting and that kind of
thing. The fingerlings and stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if this is an upper end, possibly, that you're putting in, if we approve for the price of this and you're able to find something like that or more likely it's going to be lower anyway, so I'd like to see us approve it for $135,000.
That was why I brought it
up. Now, Randy, how does this affect the budget?
Well, actually, earlier when I was talking about the Rusty Wagon building, I had built that expense in this year's budget, but it actually happened last year. So in our capital outlay, we have more than
what we're going to need because of the building part, because we have to take it out of last year's revenues. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of budget, the capital outlay budget that was approved at the last meeting was $420,000. And so this would be covered well within that budget.
I'm okay with making an action today. The risk's on the table right now. It's a possibility.
No, at any time until we get a generator in, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the point of holding up in this at all.
No.
Well, and the thing that I am concerned with is that it's the day that we need to run payroll. We get the phone call from PG&E, we're going to be down, and we need to get our payroll done so people are paid. So what do we do?
Well, and even the phones and any the risk to the servers and communication between schools and homes with phones, yeah, and so forth, I can see.
How many of the schools have the dial or automatic dialer kind of things when there's an emergency?
Well, Willows Unified has one, and I think Walden, I think they use some similar type system. Smaller schools, I don't think they use some, actually, Lisa, they probably use Remind. There's a few applications.
What is Remind? Is it an internet?
It's a hosted, it sends notifications to parents.
So it's by phone too?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so they have a phone, okay.
So, worst case scenario, let's say power was out to all of Willows, we would be operational. I mean, we could do some stuff for people to set up, you know, to payroll could continue on with, you know, VPNs, and, you know, there's other options, a lot of things that we could do to help people, as long as the service is up. If the service is down, there's nothing we could do for anybody, so. Kind of helps.
I just side question in relation to the independent or individual school districts. Is there concern with them not having power, or how would that affect?
Yes, there is. It's been brought up a few times. We've had an instance where someone hit a power pole on our block in Orland. Mm-hmm. All the internet for everybody funnels through our Orland building. Mm-hmm. The South County funnels through Willows Admin. From Willows Admin, it goes to Orland Admin, and from there it goes out to the internet. So when we lost power, even though there was power everywhere else in the county, the service was down. So it was only down for about 3 or 4 hours. But during that time, you know, God forbid it would be a payroll day or something where they're meeting to meet a deadline.
But the generator would kick in if something like that happened.
It would kick in automatically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we continue on with business as usual.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to move that we approve the purchase of 2 backup generators, for the Orland Admin building, one for the Willows Admin building, with a total outlay of $135,000.
Not to exceed?
Not to exceed, I think. $135,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Wick, seconded by Kathy, to approve 2 backup generators, one for Orland Admin, one for Willows Admin, not to exceed $135 total cost. $135,000 cost. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried. Mr. Jones, do you have an administrative report?
Mr. Corey has been out and about quite a bit and was planning to be here, but we interrupted that, so...
And everybody's okay?
Everybody is doing well. Don't know if you spoke to him arriving back there? No. So I have not either.
They were in Denver, so I'm not sure what I'm saying there.
Actually,
older invites. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. Huh. And his flight going out was at 11:30.
Do we know how much the baby weighed or anything like that?
Yeah, no information.
No information. Just came. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Board member reports. Kathy.
The one thing I did put on your table is the nomination form for legislative award.
This is from CCB?
CSBA.
Oh, CSBA.
If you want to look at it and have any, want to put on the agenda for next month as an action item.
We did nominate Gallagher, and he did give it for CCBE last year.
Yes. Just
an FYI. Okay. Thank you. Kathy?
I have nothing to report.
Quick.
Basically nothing because Policy Council did not have a meeting in June.
Walter?
Although I was all
Oops.
Ready to go, and then I realized I couldn't find my packet, so I looked at an email and I'm like, oh, there's no meeting.
Walter?
I have nothing to report.
June 21st, we signed the stuff at Timio's for our building, and then June 26th was the day that Tony Thurman, the superintendent of state superintendent of schools, had his panel discussion on charters, and Walter and I were going to go down, but decided not to, so I got on the internet, and I watched it on the internet, and I was really pleased that we did not go down, because it was mostly about oversight, and that they wanted more training on oversight. And the people that were talking really had dedicated staff to oversight. I mean, even a department. And they wanted, like, more clarity, more consistency, a template kind of thing. The one interesting fact that did come out right at the very beginning was that 90% of the authorizers have fewer than five charter schools or less. So 10% have more, which makes sense because LA probably has 100 and, you know, they're that kind of thing. I was disappointed they did not talk about finance. They did not talk about county offices still being able to be the appeal, that kind of thing. But I was glad I listened to it. It gave me some insight onto, I mean, some of these go into it really in depth. They want experts in their 12 departments looking at these charters to authorize them, language, special ed, teachers. They wanted advisory groups. They also wanted to change some of the ed code because API is still there and we can no longer use that. And they also wanted to change the renewal. Right now in Ed Code, it says you can only renew for 5 years. They were looking to maybe, if a charter they think is maybe has a good idea, but they're still a little rocky, maybe only renew them for 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, not the full 5 years. So those were some of the things that were discussed. And again, rubrics and, you know, that kind of thing. It's not exactly what I had hoped they would discuss, but...
Did you get the impression that it was a bag on charters thing?
No, actually. And I kept thinking that the districts were going to say something about the state board or the county boards authorizing charters and they should get out of it and that kind of thing. And nothing like that came up. I was surprised at that, and that's more of what I was interested in to begin with. And then, and I don't know, maybe you know more about this, I was surprised when I was talking to Superintendent Gorney about the charters, that he said Lake School has a charter for profit? Is that fairly new?
It is new. I believe they approved that in their June board meeting.
And do they have many students that actually go to this charter?
It's my understanding that it was a charter... that was up in Paradise and was looking to relocate in a neighboring county so they would have a further reach.
And so they had already had some students in that charter.
And they had students in the charter.
And it's a for-profit charter.
Is it the Inspire Academy or whatever?
Aspire.
A.S.
A.S. Aspire.
Aspire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the one from
that we was
Inspire, isn't she?
Oh, okay.
That's the one Dan LaBarre is part of the administration, and Inspire has Lisa, I can't think of her name, is the.
But it's all over the state, correct? Aspire? I thought?
Not this one. There are different, yes, there are different Aspire, yes.
Oh, okay.
But the one I think we're talking about is the one that came from Paris.
Well, and there was some. In some of those bills that were presented, there were some question about for-profit charters. They didn't like those, so I was surprised to see this as for-profit. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Communications.
One question on that. When an individual district approves a charter, do we just possibly find out via your comments, or is there some process where they inform us that there's more charters in the county than there currently were?
There's nothing required. Well, they have to report it to the state. They have to file it with the state.
Well,
Tracy actually told me about it. But.
Yes, you'd think there'd be a general courtesy that they would tell their county board of education that they are taking this on, and that there is no requirement.
State sovereignty and all that.
So, in this case, being, you know, 9 times out of 10 the district will refuse it, that's when we become involved, and that's when, if we approve it, then we oversee it.
Correct, yes.
But if the district goes ahead and approves it, then there's no reason.
They're the authorizer, they're the overseer, yes. And this one is for profit, so they're going to make money on it, supposedly.
And we did get notice that they are going to a third party for sale.
Aspire. That charter. Okay.
An LA, I believe it was an LA.
That I don't know.
Charter. Is this a virtual charter? Does anybody know? Or is it a.
No, it's classroom.
Classroom. Based. So where are they going to be?
On the district's campus, is what I was informed by my staff.
Must be in high school.
No, Lake is a grade school.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. When the lake is in session, I don't know where they would put it.
Unless they bring in a portal or
something.
Virtual.
Interesting. Something for us to keep or to note and to keep tabs on, maybe. Communications, any?
Not other than the CSBA.
Okay. Okay. Are there any comments from the audience on closed session items? Conference with real property negotiations, discussion only on 381 South Villa and potential litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9(b). Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate that you just read all that, but my comment was, do we know anything about what happened at Walden?
The other one said we had an update on that also.
We don't know anything.
There was some vandalism at Walden.
Vandalism up to $5,000 or more.
I've heard it reported at $5,000 on wonderful social media, but in the paper it said $500. I would assume it's somewhere between those two numbers.
Well, it's just really odd because I talked to Suzanne yesterday on the phone in the morning, and she mentioned nothing when I think she would, so she probably just heard about it then. I don't know.
Yeah, and my only side comment to that is I grew up across from an elementary school, and vandalism is a fairly common thing.
Oh, no, I get that. I was just wondering if
is it only more. Like I saw a little bit on the outside and then in the bathrooms? I don't know what else.
I didn't even see it on the news. I was just even looking on the app for Action News, and they didn't have it listed as a news story at all.
Channel 12 had a piece on it last night, and I think they were saving $5,000 in damage.
And we don't know what kind of damage.
Painting on the outside and bathroom.
Mirrors.
Yeah.
Mirrors and toilets damaged or something, I think, and holes.
In the church? In the church building or in their new portable?
Not the new portable.
The portable in the back?
In the new portables, right?
Right, in the back.
In the back, yeah.
Do they have security cameras and stuff out there?
I have no idea.
They were looking into them last year.
Oh.
But I don't think they pulled the trigger.
They may this year.
Okay, if there are no comments from the audience on these issues, I will recess to closed session. I would like to bring this back into open session and report out from closed session. The board discussed item 12 and were told our various options. And reporting out on item 13, the potential litigation, we were updated on information that has been received. Our next meeting will be August 21st, 2019 at 6 p.m. right here in Willows. And if there is no further board business, I adjourn this meeting.
One thing I forgot to mention.